I hope you heard that good news in that song. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are debt free. You are debt free. No more bondage, no more burden. He has taken it, it's gone. Well, so glad you're here today. And if you have a bulletin, if you would take out your connection card and fill it out, it would help all of us so much. If you have prayer requests and or praise reports about prayer requests answered, please fill that out on the back of the card. You can request information as well on that card. There are many important announcements in the bulletin. Please take note of those. We're starting this week our Christmas emphasis, our Advent emphasis. Advent is kind of a church word, and some of you may have not heard that word before, but it's a season that throughout the years the followers of Jesus Christ have kind of implemented in many churches to help us prepare for the coming of the Lord. And it's a time of spiritual waiting and anticipation and prayer in remembering His coming now and His coming again. What we're doing this year with our Christmas emphasis, we're calling it a giving Christmas, giving good news of great joy. I love that line, good news of great joy. The angel said it. We'll hear it again later, but that's what this is about. We're going to be giving in the form of help for people in challenging situations, both within our family of faith and on the in another country. You can read about that in the bulletin. We'll say more about that as we go along. But we also want to empower our family of faith, equip our family of faith, encourage our family of faith in personally, where we live, sharing the good news of great joy, because that is how those walking in darkness come to know the light of Jesus Christ. It is through people like you that those who are walking in darkness, the gloom of separation from the Lord, that is how they hear and they see the good news of great joy. There are some resources in the back on the counter there. If you would like to take one of these and this week, and if there are more left over after this week, take another one next week. But there are three kinds of things. One is from our daily bread. It's Finding Peace at Christmas, personal devotional. Another personal devotional, it's called Jesus Revealed. It's a 40-day discovery. We've got 25 days, I think, until Christmas. So you'll have to figure out how you do that. But it kind of brings Old Testament prophecy into the birth of Jesus Christ. And it's a good, inspiring book. And then for those who would like to be able to be equipped to help answer questions that people might have about Jesus Christ, and particularly this time of the year, there's a little booklet called The Case for Christmas by Lee Strobel. And please take one of those today, and if there are more left over next week, take another. Penny, would you come on up? As we were thinking about how can we in tangible ways tell the good news of great joy, we're talking about in our staff meeting, and Penny had one way that seemed like it could really make a difference. It's simple, but it could have a profound impact. And Penny, tell us about it.
Well, just a little background is that I don't like Christmas. I've never liked Christmas. It makes me sad. I think about people that's lost loved ones during Christmas, and also it's a lot of stress, what to get people. So when I went into staff meeting and Jeff wants to talk about Christmas, I'm like, here we go, it's Christmas. And he started out talking about the angels bringing the gift of the good news, and right there, God got my attention. And I want to put a plug in here for Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas movie for people like me. It's awesome. Anyway, so from there, the Holy Spirit just started taking me places with that, you know, this is an opportunity to share the good news of Christ. So in my family, Bob and I and our two sons, we write each other letters for birthdays. It means more to me than any gift I could ever get. So every birthday, we write each other letters. And I just thought, gosh, I could give the gift of a letter to my family, my extended family. And I could tell them how much they mean to me and then pray that God would give me an opportunity to share something of the gospel with them. And then I got all overwhelmed with that as I thought about it. I was real excited to share it with Jeff, but I got real overwhelmed. And now God's like, just write a few letters. So I'm going to write letters to my brother-in-laws this year.
Great.
And I don't know where they stand with the Lord, but I want to tell them what a gift they are to me, then what I'm praying that God will give me exactly what to say about the gospel, you know, the gift of Christ for them. So.
Great. Thank you. What a great model to follow. Thank you, Penny. Penny and Bob are going to light the first candle on the Advent wreath. We light one each Sunday and then on Christmas Eve. And this year, this week, is thinking about us as the one who Jesus says is the light of the world. We are the light of the world. He came to bring the light of life to us. Now we are the light of the world.
This is Luke 2:8-20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you. Now we're going to have a little skit which will help us to understand why we need to bring the good news of great joy to those around us.
The t-shirt says, "No fear."
I have none.
Nope.
Me neither. Well,
except,
"No fear."
The bumper sticker says, "Fear nothing."
I don't.
Nope.
Me neither. Although,
there are times,
"Fear nothing."
Even the Bible says, "Be not afraid."
So of course, I'm not.
Nope.
I'm not sure they meant it in the same way.
Well, and to be honest, it doesn't help very much because I really am
afraid.
No fear.
A couple of years ago, I was in this really bad car accident, a 15-passenger van. Going around a curve, our driver lost control and we started spinning out. We ended up tipping, skidding along the side I was sitting on, and then finally flipping over. One of my friends was killed. A couple of others were hurt pretty badly. Sometimes I still dream about the skidding, about the screeching of the metal, about the breaking glass. And when I'm in a car and we go around a curve a little too fast,
fear nothing.
I hate school. I dread sitting there in class with the teacher looking around, trying to find someone to call on. I mean, I know the answers, but things don't always come out right when I speak. And some of the other kids, well, they laugh and make fun of me and push me around. My dad always tries to tell me not to be afraid, but...
No fear.
I know it's pretty stupid to be scared of cheerleaders, but I am. Not so much because of who they are. Most of the ones in my school are actually pretty nice. I guess it's because of what they represent. They're pretty, popular, seem to have everything together. I know people are people, and they're probably feeling just the way I do. But if that's true, then they have one thing I don't. They have the act down. They might be just as terrified as I am, scared of never having friends or boyfriends, of being alone. But with them, you would never know. They smile, they laugh, they walk in clusters. Even if I never have everything I want, I'm most scared that I'll never be able to pretend like I do.
Be not afraid.
College, I guess. College is what I'm scared of. Big school, small school. I'm not sure it'll matter much at first. There'll still be a ton of people I don't know who don't know me. People who might be better at me than sports and in class. Professors who think I'm an idiot and wonder how I even got accepted. Picking a major and then suddenly finding out I'm not good at it or don't like it as much as I thought I would. Then getting a job? I don't know. Maybe by then it won't matter so much, but right now it terrifies me.
No fear.
So do not fear, for I am with you.
The thought of the future really freaks me out. I mean, getting through college is one thing, and then finding a job, making enough to live on, that sort of thing. And then relationships. Am I going to find the perfect someone to marry and settle down with and live happily ever after? To be honest, I can't even imagine that. Being with someone forever, living happily ever after, it all ends eventually, doesn't it? And then what about the environment? I don't think about it often, but sometimes I think I should. Are we even going to be around? I know it shouldn't matter, that I should just live in the moment and not even think about the future, much less worry about it. But if I'm honest, yeah, it really does scare me.
No fear.
So do not fear, for I am with you.
But I always feel so alone.
You will have nothing to fear.
But there's so much out there that...
Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged.
How do I know I can trust?
For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Fear nothing?
No fear.
No fear.
Well, now I don't have to preach because that was the message right there. Thank you. Hey, isn't it interesting that in Isaiah, it predicts those walking in darkness have seen a great light. And the shepherds in the darkness, the light bursts forth from heaven and shines on them. In the middle of the night, in the darkness, an angel appears and brings forth the word of God, an announcement. But the first words before the angel said anything were, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." It doesn't say why he said those words, but that's what he said. Do not be afraid. It could have been his appearance. Could have been the shock of in the middle of the night, this light bursting forth and this being speaking. That would be enough to make us afraid, right? So it could have been that. We can only guess. This has happened numerous times throughout God's history. We can read about it in Scripture. When God is going to do something new, he comes in. And he brings an announcement of what he's about to do. He comes in and he suddenly invades. And often the first words that he speaks are, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." The Lord repeatedly calls us to living life without fear. A few weeks ago, got an email advertisement. I get a bunch of those every day. But I was really captured by this one. It was from a worship website. and they were mentioning some research. And the research was about fear, talking about how full of fear people are. And the heading on it said, "The people are afraid, very afraid." Well, that was a very serious heading. Caught me. But it then made me think of something that was kind of funny. When my oldest son, Jeremy, was about 3 years old, he got an Elf tape and book for Christmas. Here's Elf. Some of you may have never met Elf. Elf was an alien life form, ALF, alien life form. And he was living with a family. And but Jeremy loved him, and so we got him this book and tape for Christmas. We drove all the way to Minnesota listening to this story again and again and again. And so I told my parents about this book and things, and then we took a trip from Minneapolis up to Duluth where my brother was living, and we played that story. They got to hear it again and again and again. And here's the story. Alf is out in the woods, and he's heard about the woodwomper, a mythological woods living figure. And he was afraid of the woodwomper. And Alf is walking through the woods, and he's saying, "Alf, be afraid, be very afraid." And that's kind of the line that my mind jumped to when I saw that headline, "Be afraid, be very afraid." Well, my father had quite a sense of humor, and so we were up there near Duluth, Minnesota. It's about 20 below zero outside, and I was down in this little room. It was kind of a walkout basement kind of thing, so there are windows to the outside a little above the floor level, and kind of large windows. And I was in this room with Jeremy and his cousin, who was probably about five. And, well, the next thing I know, someone is pounding on the window outside in a paper bag over his head. And you hear him saying, "I'm the woodwomper. I'm the woodwomper." I thought it was really funny. Jeremy had to go to counseling. But, it's kind of that sudden invasion of an announcement, and maybe the first word should not be, "I'm the woodwomper." It should be, "Don't be afraid." But so I started thinking about ALF, alien life form, and I thought, you know what, that is, there's some other words we can fit into that acrostic. Could be alienated, living fearfully. When we walk in darkness, it is because we have walked away from the Lord. We have turned away, either passively or in with great intention, with great will. We have turned away from believing in the Lord, from trusting in the Lord, from following the Lord, and we become alienated of our own doing. And when we're alienated, we're living fearfully, because when it gets down to it, fear is all about our relationship with the Lord. It gets down to that. If we're living separated from the Lord, it would be very normal for us to live fearfully, and it would especially be fearful to us for God to show up and for us to hear about what God intends to do, for him to invade, it would cause us fear because we might be afraid of who God is. We might be afraid of what God will do. We might be afraid of what God will not do. But when we are away from the Lord, it is normal to live in fear. To live in fear of the Lord himself, not in a healthy way, but in a way that we are afraid. And in this place, if we aren't connected with the Lord, when things are out of control, of course we would be afraid. When we face death, of course we would be afraid. When someone we love is sick, of course we would be afraid. When financial issues become a challenge, of course we would be afraid. When that thing we dream of becomes a nightmare, of course we would be afraid. When we get ourselves in that situation where what we so desperately want to hold on to, we can't have, of course we would be afraid. Speaking to ourselves, be afraid, be very afraid. We read in the Bible book of John that baby that was born, he was to reveal his father. When he came, he revealed his father. And when we're living afraid of the Lord, alienated, living fearfully, we need light to shine on the truth. We read the truth about the Father when we read about Jesus. And Jesus told us about his Father in Luke chapter 15 and many other places, but in that place, he told what is called the parable of the prodigal son. It could also be called the parable of the loving father or the waiting father. And when light shines in darkness, the truth is unveiled that the father who was waiting for his son who had rejected him in Luke chapter 15, where the son had gone away, where the son had sinned away his inheritance, the father, when he was living fearfully, the father was not looking at him in punishment. The father was not about condemning him. The father was not about any of that. The father was waiting with a robe of life, the robe that said, "You are my child. You are fully, completely my child. I'm putting the best robe on you. I'm putting this robe on you, though you have been apart from me. I'm putting this robe on you that says that you are mine and nothing can ever change that. Every day, all day, I'm going to love you. I'm going to provide for you all that you need to live the life that I have created you to live. I'm going to protect my purpose for you. In the middle of the trouble of this world, I'm going to be with you. I will not let my best for you be stolen away in the midst of the worst of this time. I will be with you. I will be for you. You will be alive. Death can't take you because you are alive with me forever and ever. You will always be living favored. Always be alive and always be living favored. So that this loving, waiting father could have his alienated ones living fearfully come home to live in this place. The waiting father didn't just wait. The waiting father sent his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not die, but would have eternal life beginning when that one comes home and lasting forever. This Father sent his Son to wear a crown of thorns, while earthly kings announced the arrival of earthly kings was announced with earthly music, trumpet blasts. The arrival of this king was announced with an announcement from heaven. Angels proclaiming the truth. While earthly kings were glorified by their rich surroundings, this king came from the very highest place, the throne that is above every throne, and came of his own volition to the lowest place. This is the true serving, sacrificing king. And he went to the world. And he laid his life down so that the Father could have his children lost in darkness, living fearfully, come home. So what about those shepherds? What about those shepherds? Isn't it fun to imagine what it must have been like to see what they saw, to hear what they heard? Wow. Wow. They got to see that. They got to hear that. So, what did they do when they heard that the Savior was born who would cause all people to have joy? Good news of great joy has come. What did they do? They were told that a baby was born in Bethlehem. Good news of great joy for all the people. Well, you know, these shepherds, by the way, we don't know about these specific shepherds, but scholars tell us that that shepherds in that Bethlehem area, because it's close to where the temple is, that they could have been raising sheep to be sacrificed in the temple. And I'm not saying that is what was true, but it could have been true. And if it was, wouldn't that have been just like God? Wouldn't that the symbolism, their watching over, caring for the sheep that will be sacrificed in the temple as those who are foreshadowing the coming of the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. And the Lamb of God's birth is announced to them. Well, those shepherds, they saw this. They heard this. And they could have just stayed out in the field. Could have just sat around the campfire. Could have just stayed and talked about it. Wasn't that amazing? That wow, and just repeated it again and again and just had a great time together sitting around that fire. It would have been so interesting. So interesting. But I wonder if it would have been as fun as it was to go and see Jesus and tell everybody what they had seen and heard and that when they saw Jesus, everything was just as they were told it would be. I think it was more fun doing it that way. I think that when they reached that last day of their lives, they looked back. I've got to believe that there was nothing that would stand out more in their lives than, wow, we saw him, and it was so fun. It was so good to tell others that. But you know, these shepherds, I don't think they could contain themselves the way it sounds. And if we saw that and heard that, could we contain ourselves? I don't think so. I don't think we'd go home and just sit there. I think it would just pour out. The Savior who was sent became the sending Savior. After he was crucified, after he was raised up from heaven, you know, he was probably born in a cave. He came forth into this world out of a cave. He was probably buried in a cave. And he came out again in new life out of a cave. And when he came out, he spent time on this earth with his followers. And before he went to heaven, he brought them together. And he said, you are my witnesses. You are. Yes, I'm talking to you. You are my witnesses. And I want you to wait until you're clothed with power from the Holy Spirit. And then I want you, wherever you go, to be my witness. And he said to them, go and make disciples of all people groups, starting here, and then out here, and then out here, into the ends of the earth. If you are a follower of Christ, you are a sent one. That is your identity. You are a sent one by Jesus Christ. That is it. You are his child. You are a child of the Father, always living favored. And you are a sent one. His messenger, like those shepherds. But notice that before those shepherds went anywhere, before those followers of Christ went anywhere, the shepherds, they saw and they heard. They saw him. They heard him. They saw the angels. They heard the angels. The first followers of Christ, they saw him, they touched him, they heard him. Hopefully you have heard him. Hopefully you have seen him, not physically, but physically in ways that he has worked. Hopefully you've known him with you, Emmanuel, God with you, as his always favored child. Alive, favored child. Before we go, we need the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Christ, you have his Holy Spirit. But there's something about the fact that you need to know the good news of great joy before you show the good news of great joy. So hopefully all year long, but hopefully today and in this season, you will know the good news of great joy by going and seeing him and hearing him and watching for him and listening for him every day wherever you are. And hopefully that you will take what he has given to you in the good news and let it spill over. leftovers. We all know about leftovers right now. And they're good. But they eventually don't become so good. And unfortunately, we as followers of Christ, we can, instead of spilling over with the fresh food, like we're carrying around that platter of turkey, and somebody, we encounter someone and that fresh platter like spills over as we bump into them. Sometimes we just hold on to that best and then we give the leftovers. Stale leftovers. If I have enough time or energy or money left over, then maybe those walking in darkness who need to see a great light might get a little leftover out of me. What if we lived in a way, starting today, this week, where we went to him and we let him fill us with his word, with his spirit, through opening his word, through, I loved Penny's way. I think that's the way the Lord would have us do it. We get from the Lord and then we say, Lord, what do you want us to do? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to spill over? Help me to be alert to that. It's his work, but we're carrying the stuff. We've got the good news to carry, to deliver in a fresh way out of the life that is in us, not out of what is left over. What's in your heart right now? What's in your heart about helping someone in darkness today, this season, know the great light? Sometimes we're so burdened, we're so consumed by the darkness ourselves, that's where we have to start. And the Lord helps us even with our will. We can ask, Lord, give me the heart to want to share the fresh good news, to spill over. Maybe that's where we start. And then we go to him. And then we go for him, with him, wherever we are, being alert. It's a prayer. It's a word. It's sending a card, an invitation. Do you know that so many people in this country are waiting for someone who attends a place of worship to invite them, and that may be the only thing holding them back from attending is no one has invited them? Do you have anybody in your life that you think you could invite to worship? It's not complicated. But we need to make the decision beginning now what it is that we will do, who it is we will be. Those shepherds were no one special. I'm no one special. You are no one special. Except that the Lord has a different perspective than us. The shepherds were, the Lord knew they would be there. He knew their names. He lined up the circumstances, and it was time to go. First followers of Christ, same thing. You, me, same thing. Once he loves, sent to others, he loves to help them to come and have what has been prepared by the Son and the Father. And the Father's heart of love rewarded. And that's what this is ultimately about. What happens here? What happens here is not meant to stay here or here. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that when we were walking in darkness, you sent the light of the world to us. Thank you for people, Lord, who carried your light. Thank you for people who delivered the good news by the way they spoke, by the things they did, because of your love. Lord, I pray that what's happening in our hearts right now will not stay here. And what is happening in your heart for the return of your children will happen in our hearts, so that when we leave this place, or maybe even when worship ends, that we will be those of yours, full of your heart of love, for your children to know you and your life, to come home and live with you, that there will be a difference in many people because of what you're doing here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you hear this amazing song, ask for the Lord to breathe his breath into you, that his life might be breathed out of you.